It's like getting married, Nathan.
Careful now.
Exceptionally brilliant. For a lot of people, Mbappe has that quality.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Now let's turn our attention to the big game tonight, which, as we have announced earlier on, means the tournament officially starts this evening. I'm delighted to say Julien Lorenz is with us from BT Sport, ESPN journalist covering French football. Julien, good morning to you. How are you?
Hello, guys. I'm really good, thank you. I'm really looking forward to tonight. A little bit stressed, but not too bad.
Well, we are absolutely fascinated with the human dynamics that are going on and the giant risk, it seems, that Didier Deschamps has taken on the verge of being one of the first people in human history to do what he's done. He's decided to introduce this free radical into the situation and the chemical reactions that happen afterwards. I don't know what's going to happen. So can you talk to us a little bit about what the relationship is like between the strikers in the French squad at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, we've made, even in France, certainly last week, we've made a lot of this little argument between Olivier Giroud and Kylian Mbappé. But I can tell you that within the squad, it's not really a story. I mean, to start with, because Olivier Giroud will not have a big role to play, unfortunately for him, in this competition, unless there's an injury. But if there's no injury, you can maybe see him coming on late in a game if we need a goal or certainly if we need to play in a different way. But apart from that, he's never going to start a game in this competition because Benzema, Griezmann and Mbappe, if all is well, should start every single game. So the relationship between Griezmann, Benzema and Mbappe is fantastic. And I think this is really the one that you have to care about because they're your three starters. They're the one that can make you win games and make you win this tournament. It's true that between Mbappe and Giroud, there was a bit of tension after the game against Bulgaria last Tuesday when basically Giroud complained that Mbappe was not passing him the ball enough. Without naming Mbappe, spoke to Giroud and said, listen, those kind of things have to stay in the dressing room. I don't know why you had to say publicly in front of all the media, which I guess is a fair point. But again, I think those kind of little incident happens in every dressing room, whatever the level. I mean, we all play football. You've had in your footballing career, again, whatever the level and the league you play in, that kind of beef with someone saying, hey, why didn't you pass me the ball? I made a good run and the ball never came to me. That's basically what Giroud said. So again, I don't think we should make too much of it because I really think it's a non-story right now. It was a bit of a story last week, but not anymore. And certainly I don't think we'll have an impact on the game tonight or the rest of the competition.
How did Benzema and Giroud get on?
Yeah, they spoke when Chelsea played Real Madrid this season in the Champions League. I don't think then that Benzema knew he was going to come back with the national team after being out for so long. But certainly he said, listen, what I said was a bit clumsy. That's not what I meant. And I think, listen, Olivier Giroud is a very intelligent guy. And if you ask Olivier Giroud, who is the best footballer, technically, for example, between you and Karim Benzema, he will say Karim Benzema 100%. It's just not very nice when someone said, I'm a Formula One, you know, you a go-kart. And I can understand why he was like, there was no need really for Benzema to make that sort of metaphor. But again, he knows who is the most talented of them two. And Giroud wants to win. If that means having Benzema in the team and win these Euros and him not having a role as big as the one at the World Cup but still winning in the end, I think he'd be happy with that.
There must be some part of Karim Benzema, Julien, that is a little bit jealous of Olivier Giroud in the fact that he has been held up as a goal scorer who has helped his country to World Cup glory. He's not too far off Thierry Henry in terms of the all-time goal scoring quest, and he has that World Cup medal. These are things that Karim Benzema has been on the outside looking in at for quite some time. Surely as a competitor, that must just stoke a little bit of jealousy in Benzema's mind.
I think the World Cup one, yeah, for sure. And even missing the Euros 2016 in France and going to the final, and Karim watched all the games, both at the Euros and at the World Cup. That hurts. Otherwise, he will tell you he won 4 Champions League. And I guess Olivier Giroud now has won one, but he won 4 Champions League and 2 La Ligas as well. So I don't think Karim Benzema, one, is a jealous guy at all. And two, will envy anybody else's trophy cabinet. However, you're right. I think the World Cup especially must have hurt him. He never really lost hope to come back and play with the national team even after all those years, which is a good, I think is good for him, because he could have easily given up and could have said, you know what, I'm retiring from international football because I know he's never going to call me back. And I think he deserves some credit to have never given up, really. But the way we should see it is the other way around. That's Benzema's mindset now is, hey, I've missed the Euros 2016, I missed the World Cup 2018, I missed winning this World Cup, but now I can make up for it if we win this Euros. And I really think that Benzema is almost on a mission now of like, okay, for myself to start with and my family, I've got all this time to make up for, and certainly that World Cup win that I missed out on to make up for, and I can do that by winning these Euros, and potentially he might still be there for the next World Cup too.
Well, I just checked. His birthday is the day after the World Cup final next
year. Exactly, yeah. Trust me, he knows that too well as well. Because his agent told me exactly the same thing as you. And, you know, okay, he will be then almost 35 when that World Cup is being played. But considering how fit he is, and you see he's lost between 5 and 7 kilos in the last 18 months, and you see how lean he is. I think he's never been in as good fitness-wise than he is now. And he's 33, going 34 on December 20th or 21st. So, you know, I can definitely see him being there in Qatar. And I think he sees it in a way like, okay, I missed all of that. And it was partly my fault, partly not my fault, but there's nothing we can do. We can't go back in the past. But what I can do now is make sure that I win the next one and then maybe the next one after that to make up for what I missed. And I think that's his mindset, and it's very much Deschamps' mindset as well and the rest of the squad. Because the thing about Benzema coming back, and quickly to finish, the one who played with him, the Lloris, and even Giroud, Griezmann, Pogba, no problem. They know him. They know how good he is. But then the younger generation, the Mbappes and Dembélés, Koeman, all of them are like, wow, this is the Karim Benzema from Real Madrid, from the television when we've been watching him winning the Champions League and doing the tricks against Atletico Madrid and you know, scoring the back heel against Barcelona in the Clásico decision. And those guys are looking at him with big eyes and almost like if he was a god almost. So I think the fact that he came back has certainly brought something very different to that squad in a very positive way, which I think can help the team now go in and win this tournament.
Well, that's it. We were talking earlier on and Owen used the phrase bromance about Mbappe and Benzema. And yeah. That's like, you know, the perfect. That's how football works. There's the old guy and the young guy, and they decide that they're going to go out together and be gunslingers.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, someone from within the camp was telling me the other day that if you watch Mbappe at training, you know, at the end when they do those drills where either you've got crosses and the strikers have to finish or the ball comes from the goal kick line and they're on the edge of the box and they have to control and finish it. And Mbappe is literally watching Benzema like if you and I were watching Brazilian Ronaldo on YouTube now, you know, and just watching, so, oh, wow, look what he does. But this is you and me, not Kylian Mbappe. And yet Kylian Mbappe is watching Karim Benzema with eyes like, oh my God, this is amazing what I'm watching, when potentially, technically, right now, Mbappe is maybe even better than Karim Benzema. So I think there's the bromance for sure, and they get on so well. But there's also those eyes of admiration from Mbappe towards Benzema, and I'm sure from Benzema towards Mbappe, because if you look at it, there's so much similarities between the two. You know, they were both prodigies, really. Mbappe starting at 16 and something for Monaco. Karim was slightly later, but 17 and 2 months for Lyon. Very, very similar trajectory, similar path, in the sense that they were so good at youth level, even with the French youth teams, and then making big debuts in Ligue 1. And then for Benzema, going very young to Real Madrid, and maybe Kylian will go very young soon to another top club as well. But it's fascinating when you see their two careers, certainly the start of them, and you can understand there why there's so much respect and admiration between them two, but also between the two families. Mbappe's father, Benzema's father, you know, all of that, I think is very, very similar.
The historic relationship between your country and Germany, I mean, there's like a nightmare period of French football history where all of your great teams run into, like, it turned out not to be that great German teams, and not as good as your French teams anyway, it seems, and that's how it feels from a historic perspective. Has this team got any of that baggage? Do they feel anything when they're facing the mighty German side as a result of the French history, or have they managed to expunge all of that from the record books?
No, I think this team has 2016 semi-final of the Euros at Marseille at the Velodrome, 2-0 win against Germany. That's all they have. I mean, Giroud's first international goal is in Germany. It's a friendly, but it's still, they go there and won against Germany in Bremen. I remember being there. And it feels, and maybe I might be wrong, and tonight Germany beat France, and then we play them again in the final, for example, which is possible, and then they beat us again. But it feels that it shifted a little bit from, there was a time, you're right, especially the two games in the 80s, 82 and 86, 82 in Seville, certainly the one where France, we still feel to this day now, what, 25 years later, whatever it is, that we should have won that game, and the Schumacher on Battiston, and Schumacher should have been sent off. And then we had control of this game that we obviously end up losing. 86 is a bit different. I think we're very tired from the games that we've played. Platini is a bit injured as well. And then they're a very efficient clinical team in 86, in that semi-final as well. But certainly 82, yeah, it's a big scar. And then we've had all those games against German club, you know, the Saint-Etienne-Bayern Munich final of the European Cup in 76 in Scotland. Even recently to the PSG Bayern one in Lisbon in 2020. So there's a long story, history between them and us. But it feels lately, I don't know why, maybe I'm wrong, but they're going through a quite long transition, to be fair, where we are so strong. And I really believe there's 2016 and that win in the semi-final, even if we didn't win the final then after, but that win in the semi-final shifted a little bit the dynamic, I feel, between the two countries of like, okay, we are going this way, the way up, where they're very much going the way down. And 2018 showed it, and that fiasco at the World Cup. And ever since, he hasn't been great. So they might have a really good tournament. And I do think this is a much better German team than what people make out to be. However, I still feel there was that shift happening and that we are a stronger, more confident, with more momentum team right now than them. And that's why we should be slightly favoured going into the game tonight.
We know that Yogi Love is finishing up at the end of this tournament. There has been some speculation around Didier Deschamps. But it seems odd to me, given how close the next World Cup is, that you would leave now with such a gifted array of players who are in a sweet spot of success. What's your instinct? Is Deschamps here until the end of the next World Cup?
So his contract finishes on December 31st, 2022. So if he wants to, the contract is there for after that World Cup. And then the Federation, I think, would like already to extend him until 2024. And that, I think that would definitely be the end, that Euros in 2024. Even if he wins this tournament and become the first guy ever to win both World Cup and Euros back-to-back as player and manager, which, if you think about it, already winning it as a player and a manager, and you know, there are only three who've done the World Cup as player and manager, it's already sensational. But if you win back-to-back World Cup Euros as a player and 20 years on as a manager, this is like, I'm not even sure this would be done again. So you could see why he could leave at the, not the top, at the top of the top of the top of any pinnacle in the whole entire planet. But you know what? He's such a winner that I think he sees this. And don't forget all the ones who haven't made this squad. You know, the likes and the ones who are between, let's say, 18 and 22. All that generation coming through, and you know, the likes of Upamecano and Konate and Kamavinga and Awa, basically all that under 21 team that should have won that Euros instead of Germany, but because we have such a useless manager at that edge group, we crashed out in the way we did in the quarterfinals. But that under 21 squad is sensational. And Deschamps, trust me, he's not stupid. He can see and say, okay, if I get half of that team in the next 3 years, let's say, to go into 2024, we can easily win again. I mean, it's not that simple, but certainly have a squad to be able to win Euros, World Cup Euros again. So I think he's that intelligent that if, let's say, there was a bit of a dip in talent for the next generation, he would think, that's going to be tricky to keep winning with that bunch of players. Let's go out on the top. Now he sees that maybe the next one is certainly as good as this one. Potentially, he's going to go, you know what? I'm not giving my space to Zinedine Zidane or anyone else. I'm going to try to keep winning with all that talent he's coming through as well.
Yeah, and not to mention he's got Kylian Mbappe, who might well be the greatest footballer of all time. Like, we don't
know. Exactly, and he's only 22. Yeah. If Mbappe was 30, Deschamps could think, I'm not so sure. But Mbappe is nowhere near the best that he will become in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years' time. So if you're Deschamps, you think, you know, he can take me to winning far more trophies, almost on his own, than if I hadn't him. So yeah, you're right. Mbappe is also a big factor for why Deschamps would certainly be looking at staying for as long as he can.
Julien, merci beaucoup. Bonne chance ce soir.
Thank you, guys. No problem. Speak anytime.
Julien Lorenz there. Brilliant stuff about the French squad. It turns out it was a stroke of genius to bring him back.
Before that conversation, I was wondering what round will France get knocked out at?
Now I'm thinking like 3-0, routine 3-0 wins in every game.
And they will win the tournament after that, and the tournament after that, and the tournament after that.
I am pumped about this French team tonight, and I want to see them thrash Germany now all of a sudden.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetZetGo.ie.